posts for 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14. And so I typed them in by hand type.
Yeah.
And I noticed that they got restored on
Outpost. So that video started taking over Facebook, but it was like Hydra. They cut it off and then a bunch more. And so the one I found to work was that BITCH one that I was like, if it's the one working, that's the one I'm sending.
Yeah, well, you know, you go with the best you can. I had to go find a new one, but I watched it, you know.
Yeah.
Praying, and the power is always available, right? But we don't get it unless we're praying.
So tonight's sermon title, because now we're recording for the others online.
Yes.
Daniel 9, prayer, power, prophecy. I like the threes to be ease because it reminds me, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, I am not smart enough to think far enough ahead, seeing as how we've been going through Daniel line by line, verse by verse, to have thought, wow, today is going to be National Day of Prayer, and I need to make a topical sermon on prayer.
And that's not even required, right?
No, but tonight's thing of Daniel's prayer for his people is going to be the title of this sermon title. I'm just like, dude, that is so radical. And then my week leading up to just very recently was seeing the timing of Facebook. You've been on me for a while to get Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And
but not in a harsh way.
Being a reformed nonconformist. No, you've let me monitor on your account.
Yeah.
Make it really confusing for people saying, yo, this is
Brent. The reason, and to give a little backdrop, the reason that I was so consistent with Brent is the Lord's using him. And this is a medium that speaks to folks. It's the modern printing press.
It does. And, you know, like I kind of mentioned it last time about slightly overwhelming for me being like so... not isolated, but isolated like through technology. I used to be in it,
right.
Washed my hands of it, never been happier. And then quarantined and convicted of like, you know, now's the time. Dude, you got to go to the people where they're at. And right now, the few times I've gone out and about, it is different out there. But people are still sitting at home and they're receptive. And I, you know, I'm not going to go into too many details of something really cool that happened recently. But a friend from a long time ago, you know, I reached out and felt really... heavy on my heart to reach out to him, and still not fully aware of how Facebook works or send. It wouldn't let me friend him, but it let me have a message to him, and I just felt really the need to call him. And you know, that call came in at just the right time for everything that was happening, and you know, for me, it was just God glorifying, and it came through prayer and devotion time of like, and just listening to the Lord, and how the timing lines up so perfectly. So for me, you often live out your sermon titles, and I've seen that within this week about the power in prayer. And you know, prophecy, we always just think of it for telling the future. Obviously, that's part of it. But prophecy is really just when the Lord speaks. And when the Lord speaks, something's going to happen. And whatever he says is going to happen.
Also just revealing his truths from his word. I mean, that's it, and also in a nutshell. Man, I love it when, you know, there's so many times that I have not been a guy that necessarily teaches a theme message for a theme set-aside day like Easter or anything like that. I don't go and do the typical Easter setting. You know, my goal is to always listen to what the Lord has to say and what do you want. And many a times, I have to tell you, man, it's been so cool to just enjoy like what you're talking about tonight. We're right where, and when I saw Daniel 9, I was like, yeah, we're right where we are. And the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows when the starts need to happen. He knows when the stops need to happen. And again, so many times of being able to have that time of, you know, having the word line up with the theme of the day. So
where we're at, and
trust him, man.
And it is, it's trust, listen, obey. You know, for people who aren't fully maybe spiritual or aware, that they're going to wonder, how do you hear him? Is it an audible voice? I will tell you, sometimes it sounds very deafening when I hear it. And and then there's just other times where it's like that, it's that urge.
I get a sense from
that
me.
Prompting.
Yeah, it's a prompting.
And I've kind of felt all of those. You know, we know the parts in Scripture where it was like the stillness of the voice after the earthquake and all the chaos and whatnot. And there's been other times, man, where my life's been very chaotic in that moment, and it's been a very direct order.
I have gotten get up out of sleep. I mean, get up, and it sounds like a shout, and it's not a shout. My ears aren't ringing, you know, but it's for lack of a better perspective, it's a spiritual shout, and I'm up. It's like, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Okay,
I know you sang it.
Well, they will be the entire time.
Yeah.
And so, like, as we go into Daniel 9, we're just going to, like, we need to do a little history lesson. That's kind of like my throwback to what we went through last week. But the history lesson and his story, and how the goal is just to shine some light on where we're at in Daniel and his life. And really it has to do with the covenant of God. And the covenant of God he made with who? His people, Israel. So God promised Abraham, through Isaac, on through Jacob, many descendants. You know, and for many of you, you read through that, and there can be an illusion of Father, Son, Holy Spirit right there. And so what did the Father have to do? Send the Son. Son sent the Holy Spirit. And that's where, I'm going to just say it, that's where the magic happened. That's where the real birth just, boom, ready to go. Church conceived. Power, prophecy, all right there in Acts. You know, so Google Acts, find it in your Bible, and that's where you're going to see this. But this is all a lead up to an Old Testament of, I'm thinking of Jacob, and he was the last last one of the Father,
Abraham,
Son, Holy
Isaac,
Spirit.
And Joseph.
And what did he do? He had to wrestle with an angel of the Lord, Jesus, and he got a messed up hip and a new name.
He's got a dip in his hip.
He got a dip in his hip. And what was the name given to him?
Israel.
And what does that name mean?
I don't remember.
There's a few different definitions, but through the biblical lens, Genesis 32:28 says, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, for the man told him, from now on you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." So we can get a sense that the name Israel has to do with a struggle.
It is real.
God. It is real.
Israel is real.
Amen.
You know, when I see this verse, there's a couple of times I look at it, and sometimes I'm going, why do we have to fight with God? The other side is not fighting with God. He's like holding on to him until answers come.
Well, and the fact that he won, and so there's a weird thing that we need to get perception. How did he win?
By being there with God.
God led him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was very clear that he had the power by simply touching his hip. It was over. But
and he fought through the hip. You know?
And so, like, right in this story, we see God's mercy and grace. Because this mysterious man, who I suppose to be Jesus, had the ability to choose to wrestle with and bless this man, formerly known as Jacob. All because Jacob asked for it. He wasn't going to let go.
Oh no, never let go. Through the calm and through the hip.
So what does Jacob's name mean?
Oh, fooler, conniver.
Let's just go with deceiver.
Deceiver, there it
is. Right, so deceiver wrestles with the Lord. A messenger with a word from the Lord, who many would say is the word of the Lord, Jesus, right? Christophanes.
Mm-hmm. That's not his last name.
From the Lord, shows mercy. And the fact that, like, he lets him win, but with a limp, and through grace, he inherits this new name and this new life. So often, we were talking about it Sunday. Mm-hmm. This new life comes with a new name. And it's so beautiful. So, Like, the gospel is somewhat disguised here if you're not really looking for it. But now you realize it's there. And we see it all throughout Scripture, the pattern of prophecy, repetition with variation, all leading up to the gospel. So this new name, he inherits a new land with his children who are going to be beneficiaries of this land. How many children does he have? 12. What is the land called?
Baker's dozen. No.
Israel.
Israel.
The name means struggles with God. What's the very thing they do?
And they struggle.
Until today. Thousands of years.
There's always a hot and cold. There's always this on and off. It's like...
So we got prophecy right there. They certainly live up to their name, up even till today. For millenniums, which is thousands of years, they have been on a roller coaster ride, up, down, all around, right? They've gone through famine. They went through Egypt. Their little brother Joseph wound up, you know, something like second in command, and all of his dreams and whatnot, and alluding to, again, Israel and repentance and coming back. And if you're unfamiliar with that story, we're not going to go through it tonight, but in your own time, if you want a refresher course, go read Genesis 37.
That's your homework.
To 50. And I'm going to have more homework for you tonight, too. Okay. Doesn't have to all be done like tonight or tomorrow. You know,
make them work.
The next week. But it's in Egypt that they would eventually be made slaves until Moses would lead them out along with his, you know, family and his brother Aaron. Moses. 430 years later. Wow. So while they were wandering around the wilderness, they end up at Sinai, where they would end up with a special covenant with special rules, where one of those rules they actually agreed to, and it was to let their land rest every seventh year. If they would do this, they would be blessed. So imagine you have to work, and you get, after what, 6 years, you get a one-year-long vacation. Where you are promised, not only are you going to be taken care of, but you are going to be blessed beyond measure. That's going to carry on over to the next year.
Bounty.
Dude.
Doesn't that sound like on the sixth year, like the sixth day with manna?
Yeah. And then
double
to rest.
Portion.
And a repetition with variation, pattern within prophecy. So God showed that he is in fact slow to anger and wrath by allowing them to make a mockery of him for hundreds of years, that 490 years. Mm-hmm. And so he also gave grace to the Gentiles, the pagans, same in the Hebrew mind, because they were living like that even before the 490 years. So 490 years of how many women have to be raped, how many children have to be killed, how many men have to be castrated. Until you finally put your foot down. How many of your own people, prophets, trying to send them to saying, yo, stop it, is it going to take for you to finally put an end to it?
You know, I have to tell you, that's a stubborn people. You know, who is the... He just left me. Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the things he says as prime minister of Israel in this time is that he says, I have a country of prime ministers. Mm. You know, they and he's speaking that they're very bold, they're very adamant and set in their way, you know, culturally. And I just found that to be really cool.
Yeah.
Unless it's something that causes them to resist the Lord, you know, and then that's an impediment.
Well, it could be. And it's something that they've always wrestled with, because in leading up to Daniel's time, the kingdom actually split. So there was division that happened. And we kind of even sung about it and talked about it beforehand. Right. It's not the purpose of the Lord for us to be divided, but we can still be united with diversity. Right, we don't have to be separated, but we had Israel and Judah, and all through this, they had actually turned from God, but God was going to draw them back to himself, and he gave Jeremiah that prophecy of saying, I know the plans I have for you, they are for good, they are going to be prosperous, I'm going to bring you back together. Mm-hmm. And how does he do it?
Through suffering. I mean, it's 70 years of bondage,
it's
going
to be captivity to Babylon. All because they lived in disobedience. They said, yes, we will do this. And they didn't do it for 490 years. For generations, they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And finally, the chickens come home to roost, right? Or cows come home to graze, or whatever
it
is.
You had it right.
So they're going to have captivity to Babylon. And that's where our journey started in Daniel, right? So it's a reminder of sin and how it has its interests checked. or interest check. And yet God is still faithful. And so with that being said, it'll be time for Daniel 9, and it's about prayer. And I hope I made these a list, but I want you to have this in your mind that these are all things from the devil. And distraction, dispute, disorientation, distorted vision, and depression. If you're feeling any one of these things, that is from the devil. That is not from the Lord. So things through prayer that we need to do are to focus, to be in agreement, orientation, joy, and to have clear vision. And what we are going to read tonight is a prayer of Daniel 9 that it's like, man, this is my prayer on the National World Day of Prayer. So Daniel 9, I'm reading through the New Living Translation. We are going to go through the first 19 verses. Daniel 1 says, it was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became the king of the Babylonians. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord. Huh. We can do that today.
Hear, hear.
As revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. We have that book, Jeremiah, a couple books back. Same thing Daniel was reading and gave him hope for the 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Now this humbled me. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, I brought in my prayer shawl and kind of showed you sometimes what my routine is, right? That it kind of has a silkiness to it. It's kind of comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how often do I really get down on my knees on carpet? Well, quite a bit. It's carpet. Mm-hmm. When I pray here on my knees in the concrete, I'm thinking like, wow, I don't have endurance for the concrete. Mm-hmm. His prayer position is not necessarily one of comfort, and it's one of humility. And that's a big one.
I don't know if you guys have ever picked up potatoes in a burlap sack, but you pick them up or they slide down your arm, you'll get a little like a rug burn. You know, they burn. Ain't no getting around it. So that's an itchy material.
Yes, burlap is, there's a reason why we don't make clothes out of it.
Yes.
So verse 4, Daniel says, I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed. O Lord, you are great and awesome, God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commandments and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors, to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right, but as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all of Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord, our God, is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants and prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instruction and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now, the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses. I want you to make a note right now. I'll come up later, so if you don't worry. I give you a second chance. Deuteronomy 28 is part of your homework. So now, the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured down on us because of our sin. Verse 12. You have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you warned. Never has there been such a disaster as happened in Jerusalem. Remember, that name means city of peace. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord, our God, by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Therefore, the Lord has brought upon us the disaster he prepared. The Lord, our God, was right to do all of these things, for we did not obey him. O Lord, our God, you brought us lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. Verse 16. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. Oh, our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead for your own sake. Lord, would you smile again on your desolate sanctuary? Oh my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see your despair. See how your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea, not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. Oh my God, for your people and your city, bear your name. Woo.
Dude.
That's prayer.
That's prayer. I'll tell you what, man. When you were going through, and I'm sorry to interrupt you earlier. When you were going through that, I was going, when he was confessing for the nation, theocratic nation, when he is going before them, I was like, wow, Lord, all of these things sound, you know, the condition of man doesn't change. All of these things sound like us today.
Daniel threw himself in the number.
Right.
And he was like a righteous dude standing for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And he's still saying we collectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you see Paul writing in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that all is branded to us. Now, Paul just brought it to text. It's here.
No matter how deep and dark you go, mm-hmm. like we're still, you know, there's the people they get lost on. Well, I don't have as cool of a testimony of you. I wasn't as much of an addict. I wasn't as much. And it's like, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. You don't have to manufacture your testimony.
I know. I have one dear friend of mine. I've known her and her husband for just, oh gosh, at least 2 decades, if not more now. And she just says, you know, I just don't have one of those gut-wrenching testimonies. That's like, you actually do. Because there's a lot of people out there that have grown up in Christian homes, and you can connect with them as well. But you can connect with the ones that haven't, that would like to raise their children in a Christian home. And it's like, I love it when I hear stories of people saying that they literally gave their lives to the Lord at 5 and 7 years old or whatever. I don't have that story, but I'm thankful that the Lord met them on the road. And of course, they're going to have bumps and rocks that they have to get kicked out of the way. But you know something? What a pleasure it is to be able to hear that not everybody has got this past like mine or like yours or whoever, you know, you guys online. It's just nice every now and then just hear the Lord's sovereignty in the youth.
My own testimony comes in so handy with the circles I find myself around. Mm-hmm. It's not really that hard by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony to go out and witness, because so often he gives me guys that are like me that weren't as bad as they could have been, but were suffering through addiction, had been to jail, had done this, had done that. And the Lord does. He doesn't waste any bad opportunity. He doesn't give it to you, but he will take wherever you're at, whatever you've done, and it is going to be relational for someone else similar to you, and you're going to help them up, hopefully not kick them down. And I can't help but think, during this whole time,
sin would have intervened if they did and tried to kick them down.
Oh yeah. And of course, you know, I can't help but think of how James told us, and I have the liberty of picking the songs, you know, when we teach. It was James who said, humble yourselves before the Lord in James 4:10, and he will lift you up in honor. And that was one of the songs we sang tonight.
Yeah.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And then Scripture tells us in honor, not honor that we're deserving of, but that he just extends to us. And so I got a little convicted of how do I pray? How do you pray at home? Do you humble yourself often? Do you put yourselves collectively into, oh my gosh, Lord, my life sucks because of all the things I have done not listening to you? Or how often do we throw some exclamation marks and whatever at the top of your keyboard up at God saying, why me, God? How dare you do this to me? You know, you say you love me, and all the while God has been like, man, I asked you as my kid to like not do that because I care for your safety. And if you go do that, you will reap the consequences.
You know, when you were reading that, 1 Peter 5:5-6, and this is New King James because that's what came up. 1 Peter 5:5-6, likewise, and it's kind of speaking to a younger group listening to their elders, but it's submit to God, resist the devil. Do you have that one for tonight? Okay. Likewise, you younger people, submit to yourselves to your elders. I want you to hear that. You know, Pastor Brent earlier on was talking about Facebook and getting on there and kind of being in technology, but had enough, kind of bailed on it. Now he's using it communication. You know, there's kind of said it last Sunday. There's no selfies in heaven. Mm. You know, it's all of the adoration and the light emanates from him. But it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to elders. That means you have to humble yourself. Yes, all of you will be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. That means you're covered in humility. And here's what's interesting as he quotes, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And I look at that and I'm just going, Lord, you are constantly telling us how much you like a humble and a contrite spirit.
It's so important to the Christian life. And it's one way that we show our devotion and faith. My acronym for faith, I don't have it, but it's find assurance in trusting him. It's our acknowledgement of dependency on him, our want for him, and our need of him. And you know, sometimes in my prayer, I maybe do forget my need of him. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's like, you know what, Lord, thanks, I got this. You're cool, you know?
That song, Lord, I need thee, oh, I every need hour. Thee, every hour I need thee. I just love that, man. And sometimes that's the only part of the song I sing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just singing, thus speaking into my soul, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Well, and it's so deliberate, it's so sincere, and that is what true prayer through humility is supposed to look like. It's motivated by our reverential love of the Lord, our God, for what he has done, is doing, and has promised to do. Like Daniel's nailed it here. He's done everything that we're called to do. He was reading the word. He was meditating on it because he learned what to pray for through Jeremiah, who said, this is all going to happen. Daniel's lived 70 years because Babylon's over. It was the first year of the Medes and Persians. Uh-huh. Right? So he's been in captivity for at least close to 70 years of his life, his whole adult life.
Dude, if you figure today the average person lives to like 72 or whatever,
life.
That's all but 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
And he had hope throughout that whole time of one day they would be under the yoke of Babylon. And even though like the nation Israel itself was kind of suffering during that time, like Daniel was faithful, obedient, and he had it pretty good.
But why? Because he trusted the Lord.
He was faithful in the little things, mm-hmm, and the big things. He humbled himself before the Lord and just before authority in general. And that's evident through sackcloth, the ashes, right? He's totally emptying himself of any self-glory or self-gratification, self-righteousness. Really, he goes into like intercessory prayer mode. Mm-hmm. How often do we do that for others? How often have we lost sleep? We went through that during Daniel and the Lion's Den. Have you ever lost sleep because you've been up gut-wrenching prayer of just like empathy and sorrow for someone and what they're going through? Right. Have you ever felt that? And if not, why not? See, Daniel offers.
And you can ask God for that burden. Not that you want to necessarily carry it or whatever, but if he wants you to burden that, you know, there's the quintessential people waking up, or why am I awake at 2 in the morning? Did I have chocolate? You go through all the list of it, things that you ate or drank late or whatever.
For me, it's acid reflux.
It's acid reflux, you know. The thing is this, is like, Lord, what? It goes back to a little boy Samuel, you know. Go to bed. Go to bed. Go to bed. And he realized that he was hearing from the Lord say, yes, your
servant. Third time.
Yes, your servant is here. Yes, Lord, your servant is here. You know, may I encourage you tonight when the Lord wakes you up, your servant's here, Lord. I love you. Mm. You know, I'm not put off because you won't let me, and you try to slam your head into a pillow thinking that's going to force you to sleep. Mm.
But well, just the praise in prayer. So we see that repentant attitude, mm-hmm. praise for the Lord, acknowledging the fact that the problems, that they're self-inflicted. They're through him, they're through his people, the Jews. It's not because of God's lack of faithfulness, it was because of their own. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy for us to forget about our lack of faithfulness, just like it's so easy for us to forget about our God's faithfulness, part of the sinful condition. But despite our circumstance is in God. It's been one of my takeaways for the last couple of weeks.
I love this word circumstance too, because just the word circum means that you're looking, in ours typically 180. You know, obviously we can look 360 if we move our body around. Our stance has to move to be able to see. But that there's, when you see despite our circumstance, what's going on around you? You know, that's kind of the thing in that.
Even in despair, mm-hmm. right? So even in despair or suffering, we have faith, hope, and love that the world does not provide us. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the conversations I was having with that friend a little while ago, it's like everyone you thought was your friends or family leaves you and forsakes you. And it makes you feel worthless. And that's a condition of the world. There's no worth in the world. You'll chase after it. You'll feel good for a time. Mm-hmm. And it's going to leave you. It's going to forsake you. We've all had our version of whatever that looks like. And we watched that pastor's conference, and something I PBJ'd a little bit that came from Eric Cartier was, you don't need to worry because your suffering will be rewarded in heaven. It may also be used to point others to heaven. So the suffering you go might meet someone on a relational level who feels the same pain, but you give them the hope, love, and faith,
right, because you've been
to point up towards heaven. Well, and then don't worry because it's temporary anyway. It's only temporary.
So within this, and back to the former screen, you know, whenever you're going through something, if you can flip that screen back, whenever you're going through something, I think your natural response is, why is this happening to me? Which is a great question. But if you want the answer, say, Lord, I'm going through this. Is it for me or is it for somebody else? And it could be for you, for that somebody else. But it really is putting you're asking the Lord to give you his glasses so you can see clearly. May I please repeat that and encourage you to jot that down. When you're going through something, ask the Lord, is this for me or is this for somebody else? And it lends itself, how can this be used, you know, for your greater good? And I love this Cartier piece.
And let's get a little uncomfortable, mm-hmm. so I'm going to warn you. So there's that.
Yep.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then there's the reap what you sow.
Yep.
And why were Judah and Israel and Jerusalem in this predicament? Why was the temple destroyed? Now that's fast forward in Jesus' times after, right? Like 70 AD.
Right.
Why have so many been killed, emasculated, and forced into slavery?
We don't submit. I mean, that component, I'm sure you have your answer, but we just don't submit to the Lord and allow him to have his way. We think we want to have our way. We think that we know better.
I like to point out the three words where I is always in the middle. I got a whole list of a lot of words where three's in the middle, but sin, mm-hmm. pride, and crime. And so sinful rebellion is why mm-hmm. Israel and Judah had to go into captivity. Sinful rebellion is why the temple had to be destroyed and they were under the iron fist of Rome. It's why they suffered so much persecution. I'll go out on a limb and say, you know, Hitler was also used probably for something quite similar. It's just a repetition that we've seen throughout. They were given the list. They were said, man, if you would just follow after me, you'll be blessed, and if not, you'll be cursed. Again, Deuteronomy 28, you're going to hear me reference that a few times. There. You're gonna read that and see where it comes in.
And in Hitler's deal, you know, a lot of, I hear people, and I saw some meme going around recently about, you know, picking on the Catholic Church in this and whatever their role was. You need to understand also that the fascist move of Hitler was to put his priests, his preachers, in the Christian church, that they speak his doctrine, mm-hmm. not the doctrine of Christ.
Well, and he definitely had the support of the church in the first bit. You know, my wife's reading a Bonhoeffer book, and for anyone who knows that, he was one of those who was not deceived through Hitler's blasphemous speak and whatnot.
He was with the upper echelon, wasn't he? Was that this one or no? There was another one too. So go ahead. Sorry, guys, if I'm.
It is a reminder, and I go to my paraphrase of James 1:15. Mm-hmm. My paraphrase of this is: give birth to sin, it's a monster that will grow up and tear you apart. And so, why me, Lord? Why this? If you have honest reflection of what have I done in my life, why do I have this scar on my face? It wasn't because I was just sitting there twiddling my thumbs being a good boy, you know, or a scar on this face or all the things I have. It was because of sinful rebellion, and it was violent because I was violent. It was stupid because I was stupid. But the reminder is
in all fairness, not getting you out from under the sin, you were operating in what you knew.
Rebelling against what I knew, yeah.
Right.
And so what's beautiful about that, though, and we've talked about it multiple times, of like the beauty about scar tissue, though, is it tells the story, it gives the testimony, but that skin grows back tougher than before.
Yeah.
And that, to me, that's just so beneficial of like, yeah, dude, you got cut. Yeah, you got wounded. You healed. Move on next. Mm-hmm. Please don't go down the road that got you there where you were before. And see, it's so easy for us to blame God for our situation. We don't want to take the blame for ourselves. And how many times we see that recorded in Scripture? How many times we see that in our own lives? How easy it is for us to point that out in other people's lives? You know, that juxtaposition can be similar of like, we're way too happy to give ourselves the glory for the good things, mm-hmm. too. And we forget to say, thank you, Lord. You know, so, man, this nation has been humbled quite recently with one of the strongest economies we had for a long time. Things were looking really good. And then the world comes at a standstill. I don't care. I don't give a hoot and a holler about the conspiracy theories, even though I've been watching them. And it's like, you know what? Lord is still in control. And this is a time for us to get our eyes on him and be like, Lord, was I putting more trust in my 401k, my stocks, everything?
Right.
Than you. Yeah, my political affiliation or lack thereof. Have we been guilty of that? And Daniel was an innocent party who took the blame on himself. Mm-hmm. He was not guilty of everything.
I love that
he's
a buck stops here kind of guy. You know, I don't deal well with victim language. I'm not talking about true victims. I'm talking about the people that never take responsibility for what happens in their lives, and it's always somebody else's problems. You know, I don't suffer that well. You know, people that say, look, I wronged you. I did this. This was in my camp. I don't care how egregious that may be. I respect that person even more so, because it's not like, well, I do this all the time, so I'll just do it again. This is those times where it's like, no, it ends here.
Well, and when you're more...
We could do a healthy dose of that with some of our leadership, I believe.
When you become a mature believer too, because, you know, where I work now is one of the first places where people would hopefully look at me and say, you're a Christian. I've had it before of like, mm-hmm. why did you admit to that? You didn't have to. It's like, well, I know I wasn't going to get fired for it, but I screwed up. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, my wife's been a manager and I've been in leadership roles too. And it's like, man, honesty is so refreshing, and it does build trust that when you come up and you say, you know what, I am so sorry, I goofed up, I'm not going to let it happen again. That starts to build trust. We all, at least, like to think we have a pretty good BS detector. Mm-hmm. And
I've been buffaloed a time or two.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
And so that deception, though, and deceived, and everything we had with Satan, if we are not listening to the Lord, how easy it is for us to get distracted and deceived with that, and be led astray. Daniel saying, "We have sinned and done wrong," in Daniel 9:5. "We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations." Why was he part of the suffering of Israel? Because Israel as a whole had messed up. For how long? A long time. 490 years or whatever. Like, but this to us, in our modern day mindset, this is a radical concept. Because we live in a generation where we like to point fingers. We like to pass the blame. But that's nothing new. Because that's exactly what sin introduced. Right? Look what I can do.
Yeah.
God, that woman you gave me? It's your fault, God. You made that woman. That woman made me. He was right there with her. Yeah. He had the rules of the instruction to not do it.
Right.
Still did. Right.
Do you know what I like about that shaker? It looks like the original bite, but also sounds like a rattlesnake.
It really does. So, you know, it's like, it's one thing to hear a person of faith, and we'll just say pastor, right? We're pastors mm-hmm. here. So it's one thing to hear a pastor say, "Oh Lord, be with us. Bless us today, Lord. May we feel your presence." Yeah, that's a good prayer, man. We hear that a lot. We do that a lot before worship. But what would you all think? And another like uncomfortable thing, because this is a prayer I wrote for us today. And what would you feel when you hear a pastor say this? "Lord, turn your face from us. We are wretched, filthy, ugly. We've committed adultery, sorcery, and perjury in your sight, Lord. We are not worthy of any one good thing from you. We don't listen. Our hearts have grown hard. Our vision has dulled. Our ears are deaf to your commands. We are guilty of egregious sin." And I'm not even just talking about USA. I'm talking about church, your bride.
Right.
"We are called your body, Jesus. And yet it is us who have introduced sin, sickness, disease. It is us who deserves death. And yet you took our place. You blot out our transgressions. You promise us a better life and the way to live it. Lord, thank you for holding us accountable. Thank you for your chastisement. Thank you for your remaining faithful, even though we have played the harlot. Lord, may we turn away from evil things. May we cast out our idols. May we turn to you and give you our hearts and our minds in loving devotion to what you told us to do. Love you and love people. Preach, heal, cast out demons, all for your glory and honor forever. Amen." That was tough for me to type out.
But it also comes to terms with the reality of the sin nature. Again, we've been doing this a lot lately, pointing back unto Romans 6 and 7. You know, why am I doing this? You know what, dude? Enough of saying why.
Do what I don't want to do and don't do what I want to do.
Enough saying why. Let's get our eyes on the Lord and push through.
Yeah. Well, and so the excuses we can make, one of the little quips I have is like, don't make excuses, be exonerated for his uses. God gave us his instruction manual, basic instruction before leaving earth, the Bible. He gave it to us, and he also gave us the Holy Spirit, who warns us what will happen when we go astray from what the Lord has said. He has warned us of the dangers of sin, and for many of us, it just goes in one ear, out the other. Right? It never makes its way in our head and down to our heart. Sometimes we even have it up here, mm-hmm. but we're not living it in our heart. We wonder why then we don't notice him working in our lives. But the truth is, have we let him in his life? Are we inviting him into our lives? Mm-hmm. It's evident by the entertainment we typically allow in what we're saying and what we're doing, regardless of truth. You know, the I heard someone talk about, like, would you watch that movie with Jesus? Would you listen to that song with Jesus? He's strong. He's not going to get offended. He took the whole weight of the world. He is not afraid of your sin. He nailed it on the cross, right? Boom, nailed it.
There's a little book out there that's done by, I think you can get it as an online PDF, by the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, BGEA. And it's My Heart, Jesus Home. And where this guy in the role, I'm saying a guy, I'm assuming that's what it is, where he's going through this life and he's like going out on the town, and but he invited Jesus in his heart, and as he's heading out the door, Jesus is sitting in his living room. And Jesus had gone through and cleaned all these things out, put new chairs in and all the above, and here's he going, oh, I'll be back. No, you can't go where I'm going, that type of deal. But then there's this one time, and you'll want to read this, where he's barring himself against a door, like a closet door. You can clean everything out in the whole house but this room. And that was the most deepest and darkest sins. It's an excellent book. It's an excellent book to, and it's a booklet. It's about that thick and, you know, small, about the size of your phone, to really help people understand kind of this progression of what's going on in that turmoil of sin.
Yeah. I've heard someone use a similar reference, you know, a pastor talk about what it's like when we let Jesus into our lives, and mm-hmm. we let him have one room and he cleans it up, and then the enemy comes knocking on our door and we answer it, and the enemy comes and pummels us, and then we go up to the room and say, Jesus, why didn't you help? Well, you've only given me this room. Okay, have the whole upstairs. I'm just going to make the story abridged because it goes long.
Uh-huh.
Notices the knock, answers the door, bam! Pummeled again by the enemy. Walk upstairs, nose bleeding, like, Jesus, bro, where were you? You only gave me the upstairs. Gives him the downstairs, but I like the living room area, you know, entertainment. Again, answers the door, and what happens? Pummeled. Why, Jesus, why? Well, you didn't give me that room. Ultimately, then he decides he's going to give over the whole house. Still answers the stupid door and gets knocked out. Finally, he learns his lesson and went, hey, Jesus, can you get that door? But how many times we have to learn and we compromise each time. And hopefully a little bit more, the compromise is a little bit better. Right?
It's funny you said that. That's how I used to, when I'd hear Satan knocking, I'm like, Jesus, you have to answer that because I know there ain't nothing good but behind that door.
But how many times do we go?
I got it. By the way, I did check real quick, and if you do do your DuckDuckGo or MSNBing.com or whatever, My Heart, Christ's Home, there's a PDF if you want to read that.
Yeah.
I have to share some good news, and I apologize about this. You know, my grandson Jordan, who typically does sound here, yeah, that kid's been looking for a job, and one of our buddies, and Jordan to get hired on because one of our buddies is there. You can see where this is going. But one of our buddies works there, and I was kind of texting with him the other day, and he says, well, how's the chicken business? Man, we're hiring like crazy. I was like, really? Do you hire 17-year-olds? He says, yeah. I said, well, Jordan's looking for a job. He went down 3 or 4 days ago, filled out his app, went in for a second interview yesterday, his third interview today, and I just got a text. He got the job. So I'm just so happy for him. You know, because they've had a few things come
even during this time.
Even during this time.
And that's the whole excuses or be exonerated for his uses.
Right. Exactly. It really feeds back into that. And what makes me happy is you could just see he needed a shot in the arm. And I'm so thankful just to hear the Lord working through those little things. Oh, yeah. You know, we need to hear some good news with that as well. But I love his sovereignty. And yes, when we get done tonight, we're going to bolt out of here so we can go hardy, hardy, marty with that little fellow for a couple of minutes. So,
well, and
he's so excited, I will tell you.
And that's a great story. And even going with that of like, of making that choice, it's finally through humility. Mm-hmm. We make the choice to just let the Lord work. He wants to work alongside of us.
Do you know how many no's he's had at jobs?
Oh, man.
And I told him, I said, Jordan, that's not where God has you to be right now. So, and it's so cool to see him to get that.
Well, and the way to not yet, and you know, mm-hmm. So many things. Like I just championed that he's 17 years old going for a job, because how many 25-year-olds are? So,
or 60-year-olds.
So you know, during during this whole time, like, I thought about with that illustration in the house and how much do we give, can you honestly stand at a distance, beat your chest, and say, God have mercy on me, a sinner, and mean it?
Yeah, because I don't think somebody that beat their chest, because, you know, you look at the one that's like the tax collector was.
We're getting there.
Oh, okay.
But right. we'll lead into it.
Then there you go. So, the Holy Spirit.
With that, the key of humility, can you actually say, here's my life, Lord, you can have it all. Jesus, take all of me, I run to you, I surrender all. Is that something we can do? I mean, it's really actually kind of sad because we are not capable of doing such a thing. Mm-hmm. But the amazing thing is, Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
Our Father knew we couldn't give him our all. So he gave us his all. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the go spell it out for people of what we need to be doing. That's why we don't have to be ashamed, because in him, there is no shame.
No shame in the name.
Ain't no shame in his game. So that's why we don't have to be ashamed, because in him, there is no shame. We can see here in our town, in our state, in our nation, there's time for revival. Where does that start? It's personal. It starts with the individual. It's a time of going through desperation, hopelessness, faithlessness, right? We look around, we see the land ourselves. What were we told to do? Shine light, share truth, baptize dudes. Have we been doing that? If not, why not? So,
and by the way, I'm gonna jump in. If you have given your life over to the Lord, or you're considering it, and you need to be baptized, would you let us know? Just message us if you'd like to keep it to yourself. Take a minute, real quick, and message us, and we'll be more than happy to. We'll either take you over to the river, we'll get out a garden hose, or we'll break out the font. Whatever they allow us to do, which will be everything we want to do.
We just won't record it, so they won't have to know.
Yeah. We'd be more than honored to help you with your baptism.
Yeah. Well, and so that, and with that comes the call to repentance.
Absolutely.
And Daniel gave us a great illustration of that. So for any of you considering, go back, read Daniel 9, the first 19 verses again, and wonder what kind of heart you need to have to be baptized. No other checklist. Come, baptize, and let the Lord work through you to show you what you end up needing to be.
You know what you've done to me tonight. You put me in back into Daniel 9. I am going to be going back when I get home and reading that and reading it again and reading it again and even again. It's going to be such a beautiful plea unto the Lord.
And when we neglect the heart of what Daniel's getting at, We end up just like Israel. Israel is a representation of the world itself, right? Israel models the world models Israel. Whenever they go away, they end up becoming slaves to a wicked taskmaster, destined for death with little hope, love, or faith. Really, truly, no hope, love, or faith. So I made a list. I like the numbers. So I made 7 reasons why your prayers may not be answered. And so we'll go through them. You can write them down. I'm going to give you the verses that I'm reading now at the end of it, so you can take
a
picture.
Yeah.
Go through it on your own. If you're not listening or wondering what I said, once we get through all of this, you can find the scripture, go through it to yourself, ask the Lord to show it to you. Number one, unbelief. And we went through either last week or 2 weeks ago that there is a difference between unbelief and doubt, right?
Help me with my
and
unbelief.
So it's not doubting, but it's unbelief and not operating in the Lord. So my verse for that, James 1:5, if you need wisdom, you need to ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Next verse, along with that unbelief, Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So number 2 in the list of why your prayers might not be answered, asking wrongly. Trying to prove your point
you don't ask because
by pulling out your spiritual resume and how deserving you are. You were alluding to it, and we are going to get there. But James 4:3-4, for when you ask, You don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, then you will make yourself an enemy of God. Number three, sin in your life. Now we know we're all sinners, but this is sin that you're harboring onto, you're holding onto, you're anchored in, you ain't gonna give it up. It's that room that you saying, no, Jesus, not this one, right? Isaiah 59:2 says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. John 9:31 says, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Mm. And so if you are not a child of God, you don't get his ear. If you don't humble, he's not your dad. Sure, he'll listen to you, but you got no pull. Mm-hmm. He helps his kids. Number four, neglecting the needs of others or neglecting others'
needs.
That's
a big one.
That's a big one.
Because we'll get enough to satisfy us, but we won't necessarily get out and push towards that.
We typically give after we give our crumbs. We don't give the first, you know. So with tithing, giving, whatever you want to call it, they were supposed to give first out of thankfulness and out of that form of worship. Mm-hmm. And the only time we really try to bust out our calculators and do harsh math to make sure we're not giving Lord more is then. We don't really fret about giving him not enough. We want to know, Lord, where is this? I don't want to give one penny more. I want to give this or under.
And real quick, using what he has here, that comes from, you know, tithe means tenth, but that comes from a misconstrued understanding of who owns the money. 100% of it belongs to the Lord. And you're not giving yourself that. You're worshiping him to whatever venue he has you put that. To glorify him in your life and your relationship with him. And also it shows him that money doesn't have a hold on you.
Yeah. So my verse for neglecting the needs of others goes back to Proverbs 21:13. Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. Number five, failure to forgive others.
I want to real quick back to that 21:13. Something popped in my head. There are times that you go up and you see somebody holding a placard that says, I need help, and you're afraid to give them money because you think that they're going to use that for ill-gotten desire like alcohol or drugs. May I encourage you, please, to pray the Lord and let him show you. Don't worry about how that money is spent. That'll be between that individual and him. Do not let that neglect the others. And then, can you read that 21:13 again?
Proverbs 21:13. Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. And so I have addiction in my past. I know you do too. I will tell you, I pray really hard before I give people like that any form of money. My rationalization is like, you know what though, it's $5 enough to give them a gospel presentation, it's worth it. But the Bible paints out pretty clear who they consider are the poor.
Right.
And it's not the drunkards and the stuff like that.
Right.
And there are people in your block. There are single mothers. There are single fathers. There are people whose refrigerators aren't running, aren't full. We look at those and we say poor. But there are plenty who, especially now, paying rent or mortgage
haven't worked
or any of the above. And man, we have seen so many from our personal church, but just the church as well, given like no one's business.
Right.
In a time where the world is just like hoarding everything, including toilet paper,
lines and lines of people at the local food bank. Make sure to give to your food bank too.
Number five, a reason why our prayers may not be answered is the failure to forgive others. Mark 11:25 says, when you are praying, you need to first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I'm a parent to two toddlers, and I will tell you, it is so hard for my 3-year-old daughter to apologize to her 1-year-old brother. Now, Troy, and quite to the apology level yet, right? she don't want to say sorry, and it takes breaking. She's not going to do anything else that she wants to do until she apologizes. And, you know, Butch said it once upon a time, you don't break the horse to break it, you break it to ride it.
Right. And so the rider and the horse can work in concert.
And so I get that with God being a father, man. That forgiveness ultimately is for your benefit. So you're not holding that grudge that distracts you. Everything we said
weighs
the Satan does
down.
And weighs you down.
Keeps you from being fleet of foot.
Number six, very important one, and it's easy. It's not God's will. Either not yet or not ever. That's one that is one reason why God will not answer your prayer. It's not in His will.
Yes. Thanks for the context. I was like, what?
Number seven, it exalts itself. So I want you to now turn into your Bibles. Again, I'm going to be in New Living Translation. But Dave, if you want to, if you get there, I mean, if you got New Living Translation on your phone, go for Luke 18:9-14. Or I don't care, New King James.
I'll get there.
We'll understand it.
Getting there. Luke 18:19, did you say?
Luke 18:9-14.
Luke 18:9-14.
Yep.
Sorry.
Hey, we get there, they
okay.
got there.
New Living Translation. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, and adulterers. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance, dared not to even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow. There's a beating of the chest of pride, and then the one of lament, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Is that it? Yeah. Okay. So like we get to chew on that for a moment. If you were God, we're going to put ourselves, this is a if scenario. If you were God, could you, would you forgive and pardon the guilty? Those who have rebelled against you. You tell them to do something?
If I were God, in my flesh, no. If I were God with his attributes, yes.
Well, of course. So, I got a list here though. If you were God, could you, would you forgive those who have rebelled against you, lied against you, cheated you, stole from you, murdered your family members, raped your kids, profaned your name all over town instead of proclaiming it for the good things? Would you, could you show mercy and extend grace? Now the reflection of this is, are you just? Are you slow to get angry? Is this modeled in your life? When someone looks at you and says, "Oh, that Brent, he is just. He is slow to get angry." Are you just, slow to anger? Are you forgiving? Are you merciful? Are you gracious? Are you abounding in love? Of course, you're not. I'm not. None of us are, especially removed from the Lord. Right? But we will never fully act justly.
Until being home.
No matter how long our fuse gets, it is not as long as the Lord's.
Right.
And to me, going back to Daniel 9:10, a very righteous man is admitting that he was still part of the number that did not obey the Lord is God. But we collectively have not followed his instruction that he gave us through the servants and the prophets and through the word of God, which is how we got it, is through the servants and the prophets. And so to be cursed is a choice we choose. Deuteronomy 28, pretty lengthy. We're not going to read it tonight. I did read through it. I kind of even timed myself how long it'd take to read it. And that's part of your homework.
Good homework.
Read Deuteronomy 28. find the New Living Translation, push play on YouVersion. It makes it a lot easier, but I there's a power to reading it. Mm-hmm. But it's going to show you the if you, but then if you don't. Mm-hmm. And they signed up for it.
The Book of Options.
Book of Options. So we need to believe that when we pray, God exists, that He is love, that He rewards those who seek Him. Because He says, and it does allude to, if you honestly seek Him, you're honestly going to find Him. So now, National Day of Prayer, I'm going to choose to go to my niece. I have a prayer that we're going to pray here as we close out. And then I know we here are going to spend just a little time in prayer. I'm encouraging you at home, whoever you're with or connected to, spend time in prayer, whatever it's going to be. I'm choosing my niece. That's not what you have to do. We read sackcloth, ashes. There's multiple ways. You can raise up your hand.
I've got my burlap in my heart.
Burlap in your heart. Amen. So, Father God, we come before you tonight, Lord. We messed up. Lord, we say we want prayer back in schools, but is it in our homes? Lord, we say we want more time with you, for you, but what are we doing with this time you've given us now? Lord, you have given us this time for honest reflection, and what are we doing? You don't have to listen to us, Lord, but like Daniel said, oh, our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. Can we be found guilty of being your servant? Lord, for your own sake, would you smile again on your land that we have made desolate? God, lean down, listen to us. Open your eyes. See our despair. See how our city and our state lies ready for ruin. And so we make this plea, not because we deserve help, Lord, but because you offer us your mercy. Father, may all listening repent. May all receive you now. For if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in the name of the Lord will not be disgraced. Anyone, Jew, Gentile, Democrat, Republican, one God, one Lord. May you be that for us, Lord. The one who gives generously to all who will call on you. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Lord, thank you for forgiving us. Forgiveness of our sins, but it only is forgived if confessed. May we confess. Lord, thank you for the sacrifice given to us through your Son, Jesus. May we receive right now the baptism of your Holy Spirit. To feel your presence, Lord. To know you are there, you are care. You say, trust me. So may we trust you, Lord. Jesus, we long for the day when we see your face. And every single one of our tears is going to be wiped away. Every burden removed in your presence, Lord Jesus, we thank you. May we learn to trust you now and long to give you honor and praise now and for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we love you guys. Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in. Be blessed and remember the time of honesty, humility, and the prayer does not stop here. Mm-hmm. Now it continues.
Yeah. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. We'll talk to you soon. We'll see you next time. See you Sunday. Bye now.
Just scroll out from recording. Scroll all the way down. You can probably scroll up too, but there's a line right here that says stop recording. Just click right there. Simple dimple.